Welcome back to another episode of Confessions of Millennial Milk with your favorite sister friends, Tiffany and Ashley.
Ashley's like half retarded right now. But anyway.
Literally every time I see you and those long curls, like, it just makes me smile. Like, you just look so happy with them. I don't know. I love it on you.
Thank you. So yesterday we had a girls' dinner.
So we're gonna find it, y'all.
Thank you. I'm gonna start this off with some funny, because it's funny. So it was like none of my friends could come, but they all came for Kyle's party. So nobody, I already had kind of made it clear, like, we're not doing shit this year, so let's just chalk it up. Okay. So well, they all felt bad. So they were like, let's do dinner. So I got a little cute, you know. And I went to the place here that I was telling you about with the soft serve. I was real hyped, right? So we get there. I already had talked Robin to drive me because I was running late, sitting here arguing with Leah's ass, nothing fucking new. And didn't realize I didn't call an Uber. So the Uber was going to take the time it would have taken to get there, to get to me. So it'd have been like 20 minutes. So I was just like, you know what? He was like, he'll just drop me off. So I get there. It's like raining, but it ain't raining when I left. It was like misty because it was foggy as hell yesterday.
Yeah.
So I walk in feeling real cute. I see my friend, see Lucy down there, and I'm like, hey girl, bust my ass. Okay. Let me tell you, nail is gone. I'm laughing because now that I'm thinking about it, I still can't tell you how, right? So I go to the booth because the place is like takeout and reservation only, unless there's nobody in there. But the way it's set up, it has to be reservation only because it's like the social distancing with the tables and stuff. So you have to go to the thing. You have to go to the little host. I go there, she's like, oh yeah, that's your friend. Go right ahead. I don't need to walk you down. You're good. I go to turn. Walk, and my left foot is like, and then it's like I had myself, and then I just went shoot. So I just sat there for a minute, right? because I was right in front of the front door, y'all. And the place has nothing but glass. Like, it's pretty much nothing but glass. A top and bottom, right? So when I fell, I was like, fuck!
How loud are your head?
So I sat there for so long before I just screamed out fuck that the people that weren't there came out and it was like, oh my god, are you okay? And I was like, oh. So then I was like, I'm fine. So I just got up and shook myself and kept walking. So when I got to the table, my friend was like, what the fuck just happened? I said, I'm sober, I promise. I don't know what the fuck was back there.
Did they have a wet floor sign on the floor?
So it was me. So when I left the house, I stepped in. You know how the mud around the house. So me rushing, I stepped in the mud. And usually I'm really good when I have my boots. Like a wipe in my boot, especially when I don't wear them often because they don't have grip for real. Me trying to rush in. Like, it was a mess. The lady felt bad, so she brought us a complimentary margarita. I was like, when she came to me, so she was like, how are you guys doing? I was like, better than I'm off the floor. And I said, you can laugh. It's okay. She was like, I don't know what to do. I was so scared. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Back off the floor.
All right.
So with the dinner was good after I got off the floor. So how are you doing?
I needed that laugh. Oh my goodness.
I'm like, I haven't done that shit in forever. I'm good for falling in public, but I gotta be drunk. I was sober as shit.
And so that's why I'm trying not to laugh so hard, because I just know now the next time I put on some heels, I'm gonna fall. So like, knock on wood.
But see, you just somebody's beside me. So I can like play it off. It was just me. Me in abundance. Me in abundance, me and my tits. I was just like, Lord, please don't pop out. Make a little cut out. I was just praying. Oh my God. Everyone, like the whole restaurant stopped. Like the whole restaurant was like, it was like dead silence. And then I was like, fuck. And then I was like, I'm okay. That shit was so fucking funny. All right. Thankfully, my whole friend group wasn't there because they would have fucking let it go. We would have talked about it all dinner. Thankfully, the quiet friend was the only one that was there. So that's okay. my funny to literally start off my week. Literally. Literally have my week started off on the fucking floor.
All right. Yeah, I'm doing good. Ashley knows, but I have to share with you guys. Oh, yeah. I got a little news last week that Out of Town Bay is going to be stationed near where I live soon, like really close. And so, yeah, it'll be for like a while. So,
yeah, that's a pretty long time. When you think about it, it's a pretty long time.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of excited about that. We're just waiting for like official dates and things. But, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited for the details. And the things that all transpire in the double dates.
Yeah. So it's funny that she brought that up because when I got this news, I don't know, I've said this in previous episodes, like when stuff happens, I think about all parties involved. And so I'm like, how is this gonna go? Because he's friends with Ashley's ex, not her new bae. So how, like not her boo, not Rob. So how's that gonna work?
You know Rob don't give a shit.
Rob doesn't care.
He just be there for the vibe. He be there for a fucking vibe. As long as I'm like, baby, got some good food, they got drink. He's like, oh, okay.
Let's go. So yeah, I can see the next couple of months being quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very, you know, I just know where I go to that bar. I gotta wear regular shoes, but we can definitely go there. The drinks are really good and the food is good. Food's really good.
Okay.
Nice, like super quick too. Super quick. So like, you know, some places you get a reservation and it takes fucking forever. Even with the reservation, no. It gives me like food truck tacos and shit. Okay. So that quick. And that's how the kitchen is set up. It's like a mini food truck inside. It's super cute. So that's kind of the style of cooking they do. And they bring you like these metal bacon tray looking plates. It's super cute. Super, super stuff. Sorry.
Mom was just knocking on the door. I don't know if you heard it, but I was like totally ignoring it. So we got kids, y'all, so you know what to expect.
Okay, I'm back. So because I knew I ran out loud for me. But super good food. So yeah, that was definitely a place we can try. It's a place across the street that, you know, everyone in the group was like plotting on. Well, we couldn't really figure out if it was Thai or Chinese, but and we couldn't read the sign either. So, but yeah, it was cute.
Okay, so, well, yeah, so we got options.
We definitely have options. Apparently, I'm like there. We were very fucking loud there yesterday. There's a lot of table in there. So yeah, we kept, like, my friend ordered 4 soft serve margaritas, right? But they do taste like sorbet. Like, they really do.
I think my sister was telling me about that place a couple days ago, too.
Yeah, like, you don't taste the tequila. So here I go. So I get one first. I just had to have it. I'm like, I just got to take a picture of the shit and eat it. Ain't he had no fucking food or water yet, right? So I'm tearing it up. Like, I'm eating like I'm at fucking toast. So then I'm like, ooh.
Is that so a little tipsy I'm feeling?
So my friends was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, I'm a little tingly down there. That means I'm a little tipsy. I need to get some water and slow the fuck down on this shit. So my friend was on her 4th one. I had to literally be like, ma'am, get some water. Because your shit has so much condensation because you haven't touched it and we've been here for an hour. She was like, girl, they're just so good. Yeah, because we're all sitting down.
As soon as you stand up.
So I asked the lady, I was like, what does it mean? She was like, just some, you know, sorbet powder and tequila. I said, is it? Yeah. I said, okay. So do you like have an idea of how much? Not really. So it's just really the luck of the draw when you turn the machine on of what your percentage is.
Okay.
But that, yeah, I got a tequila and pineapple, you know, everybody knows I think I'm Mexican, so I was in my element there.
Yeah, I like margaritas too.
So they were really good. So we definitely have to go back. It's definitely a vibe. The music was pretty good too. So yeah, I heard their happy hour is even better. My little tequila and pineapple was $5. I heard on the happy hour is $3, and the cup is the same size. Okay, and that when I drink that shit, yeah, everybody knows me, knows I actually can handle myself. When I sipped that, I was like, okay,
no.
I had to sip some water afterwards. But once I got a couple sips in, I was good. But it did kind of catch me off guard. Okay. So yeah, definitely a nice little girl place. Of course, what we're talking about today came up. Of course. So bring that up.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys watched the Bravo Housewives of Atlanta, but this week and last week we had a little dungeon episode. And
yes, we did.
Brought up some very interesting topics for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I was so freaking lit because I'm always talking about little kinky shit like this. So, to see like people that's famous doing it, I was all hyped for it. Yes. But I was hyped for one because a lot of people don't really discuss dungeons or will admit to partaking in any of that kind of activity. Yeah. So if you're listening, you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? So we're talking about the Real Housewives of Atlanta, and they had a dungeon themed party for a bachelorette party. So basically a dungeon party is like a sex party. Typically they're masked. It's like a speakeasy vibe. So you have, sometimes depending on where it's at, like a code or a certain person is the only person that you should know to be able to get in. Kind of to keep the ambiance and to keep it secretive. And to ensure that everyone that's there is supposed to be there. Ain't no ops up there. Because it's like Vegas. What happens there stays there. Sometimes it can be as extreme as we're all masked in lingerie and just doing whatever the fuck goes our boat. It can be buckets of condoms, buckets, drugs, drinks, infused food, like whatever the fuck you think, you name it. It's all in what you and that group can sent you. Yeah. So usually you have alternate personalities. It's just a vibe. Like, it's just a sex party that once you have...
I am so intrigued by the whole
yeah, idea. Like, it's just a part. It's more so, like, you and that group consent to the theme. It's essentially a sex party, but y'all consent to that theme of having a mistress or a madam that runs the night, that pretty much instructs everyone what to do, what they can't do, what they can't say. Like, it's just fun. It's like a mix of all of our childhood games, but like spiced up. Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
It's like Simon Says mixed with a little bit of
Mother
like,
AI.
Yeah. So, now that I think about it.
You gotta go play here, man.
So that's pretty much what they did in the episode, but it was so much that was covered in one and two, because it was a two-parter, that we just had to discuss. Because I've been hearing it everywhere. So, what are some key points out of the two parts that I'm sure we might get into later in the episode, but like, what are two key points that really stuck out to you in the episode?
One, like having the ability to just let your guard down with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then the other would be girl code.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the main two things that stuck out to me. Although girl code wasn't really like discussed like verbatim, like there was definitely violation of girl code. But we'll get into that. like having the ability to just lay your hair down and just be free with your friends, like. Yeah, I don't think there's anything greater than that. Like, everybody needs to have a group of friends that they can just be themselves with, like, just do whatever, like, and just have a good time. Mm-hmm. And they were able to do that.
Yeah, they definitely let their, any fucking thing, they left it at the
door. They left their inhibitions at the door.
Literally. Any problems, anything, was gone. So to kind of get into the girl code, what is your definition of girl code? Like, what do you think of when you think of girl code, what comes to mind?
So literally the first thing that comes to mind when I think of girl code is like the number one girl code rule, like we come together, we leave together.
Hell yeah.
But like in girl code, like they're just like a bunch of unspoken rules that like mm-hmm. you just know, and that's literally the first one that comes to my mind. And when I was, you know, reading through the outline, I was like, Ashley broke girl code.
Okay, sidebar, story time. So let me tell y'all, okay? It actually low-key relates to the topic too, but I'm gonna tell you. So
a low-key it does.
So I am usually like the best friend ever, right? But see, people gotta privy me to stuff because I have to like get myself together. I'm a pre-planner. Everyone who knows me knows that. Okay, prime example. I'm at my desk right now on the floor, and I have all of these planners and shit. Okay. I am super type A. So when it comes to stuff like that anyway. So, you know, I'm doing this thing, you know, I'm doing my Cupid abilities that I just always do. And I need to go into matchmaking work soon. But doing all the thing, and I'm a great host too. That's also a trait I have. So I be making up these games off the top of my head. Playing a game. I didn't set rules. That's my fault. I didn't put boundaries in place.
Because sidebar.
No one thought that was gonna happen.
Before the game started, we already had lots of tequila. Okay. Then while the game was going on, we had switched over to wine. So tequila and wine. But proceed with your story time, ma'am.
Okay, so that's my fault too, because I think everyone has my liver and they do not. So I have a tendency to host events and do that. And if people be throwing up and shit, it'd be my fault. So I can't be
there. There was no throwing up. We were just very inebriated.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It can go from, like, it's, like, two ends of the spectrum, like, throwing up or super intimate, okay? Like, but it'd be my fault. So I can be accountable for playing a part in how things get there. So, you know, fast forward, we're playing a game, you know, truth or dare. Nobody ever wants to tell the truth. Stupid be daring. So, yeah, this dare comes up, and I didn't set any guidelines. Again, you know, me missing my mark. A little inebriated myself, missing the mark, and... You know, the dare is like a lap dance, okay? So I'm high. I'm gassing it up.
There was no chair. It went very left, okay? And I just want to say that I looked up and Ashley was gone, okay?
So okay. I was in the moment before the moment got like, I shouldn't have been there for a long time. I was trying to hold up my wing girl into the bargain until I was about to beat up the other person. They were pissing me off. Because we have that banter, so you know, once I established that I wasn't doing that, then I had to like
my job's over here.
So like then I kind of like was approached like, okay, so you know, what are you gonna do? And I'm like, no. So I was just doing if I would have had the banter that I thought we were going to have, like, I expected us to have good conversation, okay? Because I've been in the situations. I done put some people in situations, honestly. So I expected us to just have some conversation. Like, I knew this was my karma, you know? But when a little fool didn't want to talk to me, unless I was engaging with him on that level, I got mad.
So I'm like, dang, I was supposed to take her home. Like, it's girl code, like, yeah, but it was her fault.
Because I'm not a fucking patient, and it's like patience with like a lot of things. Like, I'm like, dang, I'm gonna get up some time, but then I want him to feel rushed because you know, I want everybody to have their love moment. But then I'm like, I'm about to kick his ass. We're gonna have it out, and I want to fuck their moment up, and we start fuzzing. So, so, yeah, I'm sorry.
Everyone made it home safely, though, so we
now, you know, but we did break up. We did like definitely we showed how we were. Well, that was actually like the second time, because the first time, but you had to step in and roll back in. We wanted to go see Horrible Decisions, and the people were trying to take me.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, they're flirting with you. And I'm like, no, they're not. You're like, no, they're flirting with
you. Yeah. We be in some situations.
So to think back off of what you said, when I thought of girl code, I thought of what happens here stays here. Like, I don't know why. And that's probably because, you know, before I was a committed woman, I was in some situations. So I needed to use that rule to the best of my ability. So I always think of like what happens here, which really goes to what happened on the episode. Like, that actually should have been on the fucking walls, honestly, but you know, I digress.
Yes.
So looking at the episode, how do you feel girl code was displayed? Like, do you think it was efficient, or do you think there were some areas that it was like shit?
Yeah, it was some areas it was like shit. For the most part, most of them did a great job with girl code. Like, I feel like when in a situation like that, whatever happened should not have been discussed with the cameras around. Like, that's
bingo.
That's our private time conversations. Like, we gonna kiki and we gonna talk about everything that went down off the camera. Like, we're not getting paid for that. We're not putting our business out there like that. I feel like for the most part, they were all doing their part. They were saying just enough
right
to fulfill their obligation, but we gonna talk about this shit by ourselves.
So I felt like that's what was being missed. I feel like they were thinking that they didn't want to talk about it. No, it wasn't. I think we're on the same page. It wasn't nobody wanted to discuss it. Nobody wanted to discuss it on fucking camera.
Yeah. And Kenya broke girl code completely. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even 10 o'clock. She was running them jaws about it. Nobody even was up.
Now, like somebody said in the episode, like, the little court thing around the pool, okay.
Yeah, you like, know, if she would have, like, she wasn't pressing so hard, I would have just been like,
right, like, oh, right, like, she took it too far.
Yeah,
she took it too far and gave too many details
on camera
to put people in bad situations, and that's not cool.
So I felt like I was looking online, I think on some Instagram page, I posted a clip of the after show, which I watched it anyway. Well, I've been watching it for this because they are giving their honest opinions on it. And somebody was like, well, that's what happens when you put a bunch of people on a girls trip that don't really get along. Because they were like, what they said, it was like, because that was a real girl group, like a real sister circle, that would have never happened. Because everyone would have knew each other's triggers in some way or form. So it would have just been an unspoken rule. Like, they're that close. It wouldn't even been a thought to talk about it on camera. Like, we know we're on the show. We know you got going on with your nigga. We know you single, but you know, in something right now. We know you're fucking married. Whatever we did, we just leave here. We can talk about it.
Even in a group of people where everybody ain't super close, it wouldn't have went left like that. Kenya is just one of those people where if she's not happy, nobody else is gonna be.
And it's going through so much
shit that she gotta bring other people down. She don't wanna be low by herself. And she's literally one of those. So I don't think that in a typical situation with, you know, people who aren't super close, that it would have went that way. But it's her.
Yeah, for sure. Like, because it literally went to a point where, like, everyone was like, okay, we won't talk about it anymore. And she still was bringing it back up. Like, she still wanted to spew the story. So yeah, that is true. It definitely is her. So on a better note about the show, my favorite part. I was so pleased to see our melanin on that fucking screen being nasty. I know that sounds retarded and bad.
No, it does not, because there's not much representation of us in the kink world.
Like, to see people that are notable people that we know from other things being open, being free, like, to kind of continue on the same person, Kenya was the great representation of kink shaming.
Listen,
Like, if it was
a person, representation it was her. Of kink shaming.
And it kind of got me thinking, like, if she didn't have her daughter there, what would we have seen from her?
So
with everything going on in her life.
I feel like, yeah, that is a good point. I feel like some of her backlash was because her little girlfriend was involved in it. Say what you want. I think that the two of them kind of have something going on. And then after that little pull up that they had in part two, where I don't know whose store or whatever they were at. Where
oh
they
yeah, the like, shoot. The photo shoot.
Like, she was talking to her like they were
a couple.
Yeah. Like, not fully a couple, but like the conversation that you have when you're like dating someone and you find out that they kind of went out with somebody else. So like, are we exclusive? That is what that conversation was to me.
But it's the possessiveness. It's the lack of sharing. It's the, because you feel like you're losing it all. You're literally grasping on anything that you can get. So she felt like when Toya came into that group, Toya was going to be for her and only for her. So when and Toya, which she seems pretty,
other people, and
she seems pretty like a girl's girl amongst her, you know, shady ass fucking comments that go left. But she seems, for the most part, she's a girl's girl. So I wasn't surprised that she clicked with everybody like that, especially in that setting.
Right.
So yeah. It definitely, but when she kind of admitted, like, I have a crush on you, blah, 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 it was like, okay, girl, boo, whatever. Because what you did was still too much. Because just like you're mad at her, but she was like the whole time the first one to really get down and dirty on camera before the shit's even cut off. So
literally.
So you talk about her and you talk about everybody else, but you say shit about your little girlfriend, but you know, whatever. I was really hyped. I thought it was funny, but it was real. When Cynthia pulled out that notes of what she learned, and she was like, and so she was like, y'all really got me hot and bothered. I had to go to my room and like take care of my business. And they was like, oh, we made you, so we turned you on. She was like, y'all really did.
I mean, honestly, like, as a woman who dates only men, like, there is something super sexy about two women being together. Like, there's no denying that.
If you look on, like, if you just research like porn categories, shit like that, for women, the most searched category is lesbian porn. So I'm not surprised. It's just people don't ever speak like that. So that's what made it funnier. That's what had me weak. Because I was like, yes, it's okay. You go in there, rub it one out. DJing okay, it while everybody. Okay. Yeah. So, sorry, my computer started for you. But I was very hype about that. So now what I did like that they show is what every girl's trip has to do when they come back, decipher yeah, what is being what told and how is being told. So Cynthia was funny because she was telling it with so much nerves. Like, okay, so there was a stripper and
She was thinking about what to say as it was coming out. She didn't put any thought into how she was going to present.
Drew had me weak. And she went and she was like, yeah, so Bolo was with him and I was clapping it. And then he was like, he was what? I learned how to clap for you, baby. That was me.
Listen, when I tell you that every time I see Drew on TV, like, I swear I see you. Like, y'all already kind of look alike. And then just some of the shit that she say, I'm like, yep.
I was like, that was a quick one. That was quick on your feet, girl. Good job.
I don't know what you was doing in Tampa for 3 days.
Was so fucking weak when she was like, I was trying to learn how to clap for you. I said, you better show him what you learned, girl, while you trying to defend yourself. But you know your ass was dead ass wrong. So if that was us, do you think that would have been like a yay or nay? I don't think we would have did too much. Well, no, let me take it back. We probably would have, but I don't think our spouses would have been surprised.
Negative. Not at all. Not at all.
I think when we came home, it's like, prime example, like when I went to Atlanta and I was disclosing everything that happened, Rob was just like, okay, that's it. You sure you didn't do anybody? Like, you want to go any further because how drunk you were?
No, thanks.
Because when I woke up, I told you I woke up on that Friday.
Yeah, like when we came back from Horrible Decisions, like, he was like, oh, that's it? Y'all didn't do nothing? You didn't take him back to the hotel? No, Rob, we did it. Like,
all right, maybe I should have. Now I need you to have conversations before I leave. Shit, let me know what I can do. Don't be setting me up, failure. But I thought that was cute too, to like show that us Black couples is not secretive.
Right, like we are honest.
Yes.
People in healthy relationships understand that there's a level of honesty that you have to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to disclose every single detail, but you do need to be honest and open with your spouse.
Yeah, for sure. It was, I just was weak. And she was like, baby, I was trying to pop it for you, making it clap for you. What's the problem? Yeah, girl, take one right there.
Okay.
But so based upon the both parts, where do you think, like if we could like redo the episode, where do you think, what do you think could have been improved? Like what could have been taken out? What could have been done in regards?
She and her baby should have stayed in Atlanta.
Okay. That's your only improvement.
I mean, I wish we could have seen what happened, but you know, I
understand. Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Like if I could have just been a fly on the wall. I feel like it should have been.
What?
I was going to say maybe like a 2-day event, not just like the one night, but that would have just been way too much.
Now that would have been left.
That would have been too much. I don't think they could have done anything different. If Kenya wouldn't have been there, it would have been 100% great. Just send Kenya, ex-Kenya from the episode, and I don't have any complaints.
Okay, so one thing just came in my head. So speaking of her, when LaToya was trying to explain herself, I almost fell out this fucking chair when she said, well, yeah, I was kissing Portia and she came on me.
Listen, I'm like, wait, huh?
I was like,
what?
But that is something to talk about. That is something to talk about. We all out, girls for sure. We talk about dudes, you know, jizzing or coming in their pants, but girls do it way more. For one, that's how our vagina cleans itself, first of all. Second of all, it takes, honestly, for the most part, unless you know you got some built up shit going on, it takes nothing to arouse a female.
So, literally, when me and the ghoster used to be talking around this time last year, you know, we were still in the office.
Yeah.
We used to get very spicy in the text message, and I would be like at my desk, like, and then go to the bathroom and like need a whole new pair of underwear in the middle of the fucking day at work over some text messages, like not touching, no nothing, just reading. So yeah, I can believe it.
Like that's why I was so happy that Cynthia went in and was like, yeah, after watching, I had to go upstairs to handle my business because, you know, like,
yeah.
And I low-key was mad. Okay, so before I give my final thought, I was pissed with Tanya.
Why
when her ditzy ass was like, I was in the room with Portia. No one mentioned your fucking ass. It was going to be Portia regardless because it was her room.
Your room was whole upstairs. You had a whole alibi. You didn't have to say shit.
So now, which is another topic, like friends do get down with each other. It happens, especially when there's alcohol. Like, and if y'all are already like flirty like that anyway, it happens. So if the environment is correct. Now I'm not saying everybody fucking friend to be fucking each other. No, but I'm saying that that's something that y'all already discussed. And y'all have that level of curiosity shared. It happens. But
I told you, I want one of my friends.
Right. Like, so I'm pretty confident there was ever like a cabin trip, something would happen. No one would be surprised. We'll be fucking bragging about it after, like, no. So I personally feel, and this might as well go into my final thought. So yes, I agree. I think if Kenya should have came, it should have been a no babies allowed. Because I feel like that was her alibi to not participate and not be fully involved in the bonding.
Yeah.
But if she couldn't, not fine. Period. And then I feel like they should have left Tay alone. They made her feel so pressured. That's how she ended up telling herself. Then, so this is what my theory is. I feel like Bolo just fell asleep there, honestly. I feel like he just got so, they just had him doing so fucking much, my nigga conked out, like, period. He was windshield wiping his penis, apparently, according to Cynthia. Like, he was doing so fucking much, carrying all them bitches around. Me and Drew about the same size. So, that means Drew, you know, between that 150 and 170. So, that's a lot to be throwing around. Then, you know, Cynthia about 170 because she tall as shit. So, it's a lot. Like, all of them he picked up just about. So, tired, okay? He had cut his show short. Like, I'm honestly feeling like
he could have been in that other room sleep, and Tanya and Portia were the ones who the sex noises were coming from.
Like, I honestly feel like they went in that room and they started doing their little girl things that girls do.
Yeah.
Whether it's like masturbating,
like literally start from the beginning of the dungeon episode, they're like all over each other.
And we could tell that when they were like introducing their aliases, but I thought that was cool too, to kind of show how the dungeon works, where you usually do have a madam or a mistress or whatever, depending on, you know, and that's who designates who was who, what's the personality. You develop your own character. Like, it's meant for you to show up. That's why I'm so pissed with Kenya. It's meant for you to be there and you to let go of anything that happens outside of your life. So you have a split personality or alias for a reason. But when Tanya went to introduce herself, she was like, oh, like, she was all nervous. Like, you can just tell that she was just nervous. She wasn't intoxicated for real or whatever. But once she got, you know, got herself together, you're right. She was on everybody. She was all like, no, one of my final thoughts is every time Kenya went open her leg and it sounded like that crooked chair.
Woo. Production on Housewives is super petty, okay?
It was like, nah. It was super petty. But I just wish that, like you said, the cameras would have stayed on, honestly. Like, it would have been like some real world type shit. Like, yeah, they would have covered the cameras, but then like another camera would have came up that was black and white only. But they weren't prepared for this, so that's why it didn't happen. Because it don't usually happen on the Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if she was going to come, her baby should have stayed. Like, that one should have been. I don't even feel like, because I remember at one point on the first part, they were like, well, we should have gave her the option. Like, damn, da da da. No, I don't think it should have been, like, I think no kids should have been there. Like, that was what all of them needed, and it was COVID and all that. This is at the beginning, where they really could do shit. They all live in Atlanta. So, I do agree with Marlo's, like, joke, but state you're going to watch the NDA, because at the end of the day, you know your group. And she is the one that, when she's upset, she goes for blood. You can wear a dirty thong around her, and she's going to drag it. Like, you, Candy could have sent you an outfit that didn't fit, and that would have been your fault. Like, because she doesn't like you. So, if you watch the after show, when they were talking about it, so it's crazy because, like, the group has a divide. Of course, Candy is pleading the fifth, but Drew, Shamia, Portia, they all feel like it was a mess. It was disrespectful. It wasn't cool. It was tasteful, you know, which I agree with as well. Cynthia and Kenya have this theory that they weren't judging anyone. They just wanted them to be up front. Yes, and not on camera. That is a key moment off camera, because it can be very tarnishing to someone's relationship with a reputation if you continue to go in there. So, yeah. But I just wish it would have been like a common sense. Like, yeah, like you said, like, we can kiki about it. It's funny, like, you know, morning after conversation, but we don't need to be pointing at rooms. We don't need to be saying who we think was in there. We don't even need to honestly mention that he never left. It's a so-and-so
time. We can have a Zoom call if you want to, and we can all talk about what happened, but we're not doing this shit with the cameras around.
Like, because it literally had happened like 2 weeks, I think, before the wedding. So it all came out by the wedding. So let's just say nobody went home and told their man, which they did, but let's just say they didn't. And I kind of got where Portia was at, where she was like, Tanya, what are you doing? But that was Tanya's second time dealing with Kenya, doing something that was going to pretty much affect her relationship. So I kind of got where she was coming from. Like, no, my man will ever be on the damn show. We got too much to lose for you to be fucking it up because of your bitterness. But I like the editing, though. I will say I fuck with Bravo and how they edited the episodes. Because she low-key was on a war path from part one to part two. Well, really from when they got to South Carolina with the whole private jet and bus shit, the feeding herself and not feeding nobody else, the bringing a baby and not tell nobody, the giving a player treatment.
Business.
Yo, she was on a war path. So to that lawyer, to get to that divorce hearing with her lawyer, with that meeting, she gushing about, Mark said this, he said this, come on, come on, come on, come on. He was like, really? Okay.
Well, I got this. Yes.
This morning. So she was like, what? He was like, he's asking for alimony.
What?
Oh no, boo. Because he was real giddy and happy with your little pink blouse on. He was real cute coming up in there and lost your little 4 pounds. You feeling yourself and your ass feeling stupid.
Girl.
You did all of that because you bitter. Portia wasn't mean to her. Because when they was playing the clips, I was like, Portia was giving you what you gave her. They're low-key feel the way about Marlo too. That's another thing about girl code. Like, I feel like Marlo breaks it too all the time, and she just gonna get spoken about.
All the time.
She is a backpedaler with a friend. Like, don't get me wrong, people can make up, but she is good for saying,
Marlo be having some really low blows for these girls to just be making up with her, like, so quickly. Like, the comment that Marlo made about Kenya's and her mother's relationship a couple seasons ago. Like, they should never be friends. Like, I don't care how many times you apologize, like, some stuff you just can't come back from. But when you tell somebody who you know does not have a relationship with their mother that they are the reason why their mother does not want to be in their life, how do you come back from that?
But it's just like, ooh.
Like, I will never forget that episode, like, sitting around the campfire, and she just, nobody knew what to say, like, because low-key, it's kind of true.
Mm-hmm. But she's like, a lot to deal with. She has a lot to unpack. She has a lot that she covers, holds in, which Aquarius do. I give her that, all of them get to a space where it's like, I need to fix shit. I don't know no Aquarius that holds shit in like that and ain't trying to fix it. It's like she likes being a bully. And it's like Marlo likes attaching herself to the bully. Because she knows she has a snarky comeback. So when she's attached to the bully, they hit even harder. Mm-hmm. Because when Nene was there, it was her and Nene against the world. Now Nene's gone. She's with her freaking arch nemesis. Like, what? So yeah. I will say I'm excited to see LaToya's transformation to realize Kenya ain't shit. But like Candy said, and I think it was Drew, maybe it was Portia, one of them, was like, they don't trust her. They feel like, you know, it's a ploy. Yeah. She's doing it to get more intel to bring back. They don't feel like she's genuinely not liking her anymore, or not feeling how she, you know, responds to shit. So yeah, it was a good episode. It was a lot to unpack. It was just like when I was watching part two, I'm like, wow, like we're showing Black women being kinky. We're showing women, you know, that are very visibly hetero, saying they are turned on by another chick, let alone they fucking friend. We seeing a bitch that's hating, but she damn sure is kink shaming as well as hating. You seeing grown up, you know, trying to learn the whole, well, grown women learning the idea of girl code. It was like a lot of little things there. I mean, it was a great little two-part. I really wish we could have seen them fucking curtains, but
that's okay, girl. We'll have our own.
So, with regards to the playlist, I have some pretty, my choices are pretty funny. I have good reasons behind them, too.
So when I got it, I was like, okay, I understand though. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so my first one is Destiny's Child girl. Okay, so I feel like if her, like, Kenya's circle has a moment like they had with Kelly in the video, we will get a different King. You know, I feel like she doesn't have that sister circle. Like, she screams, even though she is the problem, but, you know, I digress. And then I also put the song on the playlist because I feel like, you know, in that video, that was like a sacred moment and everyone was talking sacredly, and we did not have that in this episode. Thanks to Kenya. Yeah. So that's why.
Okay.
Then I put Obsession because everyone was obsessed with Bolo. Bolo and what Portia and Tanya did. So that's why Obsession is up here.
Okay.
And then I put Trey Songz The Usual because
we tired of The Usual. We want some extraordinary.
Yeah, what he said, you know, what he said in the beginning, and me don't get a little nasty. And I was like, oh my god, this is perfect for the perfect. So yeah, that's why I put it up there.
And then my addition to this week's playlist is Ludacris featuring Trey Songz, Sex Room. Welcome to the dungeon. Welcome to the sex room.
Oh, that's same definitely thing. What it was. Okay, when she bought out that fucking flogger, I said, she's a freak. That flogger and them date night panty vibrators,
which I was like happy to see. Are, like, on fire because, like, this whole episode just has me so, like, excited. Like, I'm so intrigued. I feel like I've been smiling and just blushing the whole time.
So, yeah. So, we definitely want to bring up. I was thinking when we talk about it, I just, like, might as well do an episode on it because it is some good content to talk about. So, but yes, thank you for listening. We're going to definitely update this playlist. I've been doing pretty good with YouTube. And we have our photo shoot coming up really, really soon. Yes. We have some other episodes coming up. It's going to, like, this season is going to be very in-depth, but, like, a lot of kind of taboo topics this season. So just listen and bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.